Blog Talk Radio.
To a special edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're recapping the 5 days of trial that we've seen in the Aaron Dean case. What evidence should have been admitted but wasn't? Why did they fail to humanize Tatiana Jefferson? Why didn't the state object when the defense said Zion agreed with Aaron Dean that he saw Tatiana point the gun out the window that night? There's just so many things, y'all, and I'm not an attorney, but I could definitely as a Monday morning quarterback, see that could have been done differently. Why did we not see the state show up and show out? $1 million question. 3 years we waited for the trial of Aaron Dean. Some call this the trial of the century, second only to the Cullen Davis trial. So, With three years to prepare, why did he appear not to be ready? I don't know, y'all. This has been hard on me all week, really. It's one of those things that, you know, sometimes we women carry things in our chest. I've carried this in my chest all week long. I did not go to the courthouse this week because I did not want to be a distraction. I felt like I'd been very vocal on social media, and I did not want to get singled out and asked to leave, as they have seemingly had done to other activists there, which I question why it only appears that people like Dominique Alexander, Carol Harrison Lafayette, Peyton Jackson, all very verbal activists who have spoken out on the Tatiana Jefferson trial, and I hear even others have been asked to leave. You know, it's a $1 million question, y'all. So that's why I chose to not actually be a part of that itself, because I was able to multitask in terms of dictate on social media and watch the proceedings without being interrupted or asked to leave. But what does it say about Tarrant County that you can't be an activist and sit in the courtroom at the same time? There's a lot going on with that, y'all. I mean, and we should be concerned. I'm just going to leave it right there. We should be concerned. But I'm going to my guest panelist tonight. I see Manuel Matas on the line. We got Reggie Ruffin in the building. If you are someone else that I invited to be on this panel, please press 1 so I know your number on the line. If you are someone else that I have asked to be with us tonight, please press 1 so that I'll know. There's quite a few numbers on the board, and I cannot recognize some of them. Okay, so I'm going to open up everybody's phone line. Good evening, everybody. How are you doing tonight? Reggie?
Good evening.
Chris, is that you?
Yeah, I'm on there.
Great. Okay, yeah, then let's get started, because Chris said he's got something else to do tonight. So y'all listen, what the heck happened? How can we be 3 years waiting for a trial and we see basically, you know, this thing wrap up in 5 days, so much left on the table? What did we miss? Christopher, since you may have to get out of here early, tell us what we missed this week.
Just in general, you know, it was a roller coaster. You know, they teased us. And I'm just talking about the facts at the law. I can remove a lot of things, you know, but what I felt in a general sense was it was a tease, and we've seen this. I've said it before. It's the same script that we got out of the Courtney Johnson thing, half-stepping, dodging things. And so in general, my interpretation of everything that we've heard to this point so far, and I'm just not even worrying about the verdict right now. I'm just judging the objective performance of the prosecution. And what I felt that is irrefutable is that they were working way harder to give prominent people political cover more than they were working to give justice to Tatiana's family.
You know what? I agree with that. Why didn't we hear from former police chief Ed Krause, who said he would have fired him had he not quit? So why didn't we hear from Betsy Price, who made similar statements right after the incident happened? Why didn't we hear from the current chief, Chief Noakes? Why didn't we hear from some of his supervisors who could have told of his poor evaluation? What is going on with that? I mean, all of these people who had worked with Aaron Dean and could have testified to how he performed in the field, we didn't hear from them.
Right.
We did. Reggie Ruffin, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, they did their best job of trying to squash the fire a little bit, but they went out of their way trying to humanize Aaron Dean more than they did Tatiana Jefferson, because they still want to try to portray Dean as if he was the victim. And I think they, whoever's idea was to put Aaron Dean on the stand, I mean, I will give them big ups, because they must have wanted the world to know what it was they was trying to hide, because he really lost a lot of points putting himself on the stand under the premise of he wanted the truth to come out. Yeah, the truth came out, all right. We know what kind of idiot he is. We know what kind of idiot he was and how he calls up trying to mitigate the damage that he done by trying to say, well, I'm an officer and we have a hard job. Okay, so it's being a black man is a hard job. So I like to see him wear my uniform for a while, see how that fits.
I agree. Manuel Miranda, what did you see? You were down at the courthouse this week. What did you see?
I seen a lot of kind of like they wanted what you're saying is true. The reason why they wanted to make it seem like he was a victim of his own training and the situation is because if it was proven that she had a right to protect herself in her house and they were able to keep her from being a human, right? So now what they're focused on is Erin Dean was a good officer that was in a bad situation that made a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that that's enough because you have to understand what y'all said, Betsy Price, Ed Krause, but they co-signed the people that are on the place now. Right? The mayor came from Betsy Price because she worked for her. Ed Krause co-signed for Chief Noakes, right? Mm-hmm. So if it proves that they're right or wrong, okay, say for instance that it proves that what they said, that they put them on stand, Betsy Price and Ed Krause, and they said yes, and they asked them why would they would have done it, because they didn't follow policies and procedures. Now you understand why they're focusing on policies and procedures so they don't have to bring those people in. So nothing's at question and everything's going to go back to normal. So it's like they're going to sacrifice this cop, right? Instead of bringing the eyesore to the whole department as a whole, because it's a department as a whole that allowed this type of mentality, this type of behavior to go unnoticed. It's a pattern. People have complained about this same pattern. They don't even want to tell us how much they wasted for 3 years to tell them, professionals, what the community's been saying for over 20 years. So help me understand why this cop right here, right, is a prime example of what the whole department represents. When they do something wrong, everyone goes and risks their jobs to make sure that he comes out squeaky clean. That's why they have all these professionals that don't even understand that it's not about what they're experts at in their field. It's about what he did. And none of them are able to say, well, he did that because this. Because when it comes to that question, are you a psychologist? Are you trained in any form of mental thing? They all say no. We follow patterns and numbers. That's why they're doing, like Chris said, a whole show.
I'm just gonna cut it straight down, okay? Bottom line is what I was saying is we spent 89. I think it's gonna come down to it in the closing arguments because they gotta make the show for it. But we spent all 5 days of trial talking about policies, procedures, and general orders, and nowhere did we see the court, did we see the attorneys in any of their statements, even in the opening statements. How many times did anybody hear the word murder spoken? Murder.
They did.
That is the penal code offense. That is what the jury is going to be instructed on considering. They're not going to be it's helpful. All of that procedures and all of that policy and all of that general orders is what that is the state either deliberately or they incompetently fell into the trap of that whole concept of automatism that I told you about, because that's the only thing that those would apply to. Those regulations are administrative. That is not criminal law. This is a criminal prosecution. There needed to be more emphasis on developing the evidence that proves the elements of the murder. And beyond that, so you have the witnesses that came on. How many? There's a thing called material witnesses, right? The only material witnesses, and I might miss one or two, but the only material witnesses that we had were Zion.
Mm-hmm.
James one of the crime scene. There were only like three or four material witnesses, but we have a whole list of material witnesses. We had Cotton and Hoffman and all of these names that we heard being spit out by these other experts and other stuff in the back channel, but they didn't put on. There was a internal affairs investigation into this shooting that implicated Darch, that implicated Dean. Okay? That is material evidence. This is the Fort Worth Police Department. These are the guys that had the hands on. So why are we talking about bringing – it's helpful to have these expert witnesses, but why are we spending billions of thousands and thousands of dollars to bring in this guy from Houston and this guy from Denver and this guy from Vancouver before we emphasize the priority of why don't we present the jury the findings of our Fort Worth Police Department internal affairs investigation and detectives? They didn't develop any helpful testimony from the material witnesses.
I agree. Yeah, let me tell you what I heard Aaron Dean testify. And I think the only reason he had to testify was because they couldn't get little Zion to say he saw a Tatiana pointing that gun out of the window. I think the 8-year-old testimony was given under duress. And so I think when they tried to get him to recant that same 8-year-old testimony, he couldn't because that's not what he remembered. And he told them, I don't remember. But this is what I heard Aaron Dean testify to. And phone line, listen, I'm coming to you. If you haven't gotten on the phone line yet, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. If you're listening via the internet, the number's at the top of your screen. This is what I heard Aaron Dean testify to. I heard Aaron Dean say, my training, as though to say, or it's all over the pages. This appears to be, this is what I heard him say. And from doing talk shows since 2010, I'm a really good listener, y'all. What I heard him say is, I'm a trained robot on autopilot. So I'm doing what I was trained. So that day, and Christopher and I have talked about this, and I agree with him, that he showed up that day and he failed to follow general orders because he had a preconceived notion about what he thought was going on. So instead of going in as though this is a welfare check, he went in with it's an open structure and there's a burglary in progress. And so he showed up and instead of just pausing for a minute, observing, using a degree of discernment, basically taking his time to process, as they said, cutting the pie. If he had just taken his time, him and Darch, to cut the pie, whatever that term was, I think they would have gotten a little bit further down the line. And so I think what happened was this. He showed up, and he went to the bat way quicker than he should have. And because he had failed to make certain there weren't any bad guys, he immediately went to the window, looks in, flashes that flashlight, and when a Tatiana Jefferson sees it, she comes to the window. However, what Aaron Dean testified to was, I saw a silhouette, not a person, as though he's still on the shooting range. I saw a silhouette who he didn't even call human, without any hands, who had a gun in the center of it. And then he said, basically due to muscle memory, he started to shoot. Now, this is where he lost me at. He said he went into the house and he found the gun, but he didn't even know it had a green laser on it. So literally you're saying you saw a silhouette that wasn't even human to you. Basically, they had a gun that you were looking down the barrel of, but it didn't have any hands. And due to muscle memory, you shot, even though you didn't see the green laser. But this is the problem with that. muscle memory, I would think, and I'm not a gun expert, and I hope there's one on the line tonight, I would think muscle memory would cause you to hit that gun several times. How was he able, as he said, he took a aim shot, meaning he went for a kill shot when he shot her in the chest. That said, so if that was the case, how was he able to stop himself after one shot? Most officers testified to the fact when they shot several times. You know, they don't just take one shot, but he took one shot with a Glock. He took one shot. But they're trying to say it was muscle memory. If it was muscle memory, how did muscle memory come right off the trigger? I'm just putting it out there tonight, so I'm going to help the prosecution out if they happen to be listening. We got some questions we want you to put in closing arguments tomorrow, because some of this ain't making sense. Because he literally said he saw a silhouette, which is what you see on the gun range, and not a human who had a gun in the middle of it, but he didn't see any hand. But he feared for his life enough to say he felt like his life was in danger, so he shot and killed it, the silhouette. Because he never said he killed a human. Y'all make that make sense. Listen, I'm going to get Carol Lafayette on the phone. She's going to tell us some things about what happened in the courtroom this week. Also, we're going to go to the phone line first, and we're going to call Carol while we're on. Or we're taking the call from, y'all, I'm getting confused with these numbers, 682-250. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 682-250.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, peace, sister.
Hey, how you doing?
I sat in the courtroom, too.
Okay.
That muscle memory is, that's based on repetitious practice. That's what he's talking about. Another saying, and that wouldn't be the good term. Say what he's saying. He practiced shooting niggas. Anyway, that's why I take it. But anyway, it's locked in his memory.
Tell me what muscle memory means, though. Does that mean that you're just stuck on the trigger, though? I take that to be what muscle memory.
No, that's what you call. That's what you call an act of. You stuck on a trigger. That's what they call symphatic shooting. Muscle memory is that based on that situation, it triggers, he locked in his memory of what he's been taught or rehearsed time and time and time again. It's an act of repetition that's just locked in your mind.
So,
how
are you supposed to react to that situation?
But you could,
No, some of it is based on your training. They talk kill shots. You don't have to be into symphatic shooting. This dude ain't been on the force that long.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like the. His lack of know is the reason why he reacted the way he did, because he don't know how to follow instructions. They don't know how to follow instructions. He said, yeah, some of that stuff you might recall before is situations Dean should have followed his general orders because of his lack of experience in that particular situation. Number one, how many of y'all people that's listening went out to the community of the South Side and asked about Aaron Dean? Mm-hmm. You don't know how many people that white man has arrested in that community. They don't like him.
Oh.
He's a hunter.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
So thing of it is, being on South, that's my backyard, and I had enough sense to go hit the block. Because you ain't going to go in the places I go. A lot of people ain't got the fortitude to go to places I go because I got passes in certain places on the South Side. And when I went into certain areas that we call high risk and asked about that dude, they can't stand him.
Oh, wow.
Because of his attitude and the way he treat black folks. He stopped people for nothing. Young, young, old, and indifferent. That's just how he is. Mm-hmm. And that's just in my reports from the people in the community. So they weren't strange to him. And then we also got to ask ourselves, why do people that's non-black and go into these areas that you ain't never been before in your life?
Mm-hmm.
People don't look like you. Their comprehension is different from yours.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you go over to an area that's not familiar with your own community? Because in their community they come from, ain't a whole bunch of black officers over there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hire niggas in where they come from.
Hmm.
And so, because we ain't the majority where they come from. And so.
Yeah, but did y'all know that Central Division B is where they.
Brother, can I finish, please?
Go ahead.
Oh, you got to understand the mindset of that dude. And I listened very carefully to what the expert said in his 32 year profession. But he was real analytical, and he really was just saying, dude, you messed up, and you need to take some account to what your fuck-up was. You was inexperienced. You did not follow what you were supposed to do, and that's why you got the end result of what you did, because you did not do what you were supposed to do. And a lot of us that just been on here got jobs, and majority of times when we mess up, we take account for our own responsibility, and that dude don't want to take account for his fuck-up. That's just cut and dry.
I agree. Yeah, we got a doll, Carol Lafayette, who was in the courtroom and said she was kicked out because she took in a bottle of water, which is something they had allowed all week. So there's some other things going on in the courtroom, and we want to hear from her as to what they want. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm dialing the right number. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on with her number.
But that baby was a butthole, though.
Was he?
So he
wasn't nice to people.
No, it was a couple of people that had to run in with that dude.
Wow. Go ahead.
But I mean, they ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
But that's what I say about the whole thing is that.
I mean, because she got, you know, I mean. You know, this ain't the movie shit. If they tell you not to bring nothing in, if he told you prior to that,
I thought y'all had been taking stuff in all week, though.
I ain't telling
you
that.
No, it's just the overflow. To the overflow, you can do all that.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
in
you're
the
right.
Main
it tell you right point blank. It got a list right up there, so I'm not going to. Yeah, in the overflow, you can do all that. You can be fast and free in the overflow.
Yeah, you can take food, drinks, and all that stuff from there, but not in the main one.
Yeah, and that's what I was tripping on. I was like, the whole time, I'm looking at this sign they got up there, and so I'm like, okay,
all right. I'm not sure. I'm just going to tell Harrison Lafayette, I tried to call you from the switchboard. Everybody witnessed that. I'm not going to call your number out, but I called you, and I didn't get an answer. So we're going to move on. Listen, why did the defense at the very end slip it in with the very seasoned expert? He was an expert for the prosecution. And at the very end, I think he tricked him when he said, would you agree that Zion Carr or Lil Zion agree with Aaron Dean that a Tatiana Jefferson pointed a gun out the window? That's not what Zion testified to. And I was disappointed that the prosecution, the state, did not object to it. And they let that ride as though that was the truth. I mean, I'm talking about that's just bullshit. I mean, I'm amazed that that
is that Zion, little brother, said one thing up under the wrist. mm-hmm. when they took him off in that room versus taking him over there to Miss James. Then he mm-hmm. come back 3 years later and say something. I don't think that was good. Me personally, I wouldn't have put Zion on the stand. Number one, he should have pointed out that his constitutional rights were violated. Did you first thing I would have shot at is that did you read his Miranda rights? Did he know he had the right to be silent? Did you know that you was, you know, all that, you know, and, but it's in the civil case, all that's in there. You totally yeah. violated that kid's rights. You had no jurisdiction, just like you had no jurisdiction going in the goddamn backyard. What should have been done, they should have turned him over to Child Protective Services.
Oh, wow.
That should have handled that situation when dealing with a child. They know that. They know that.
Mm.
And then we don't know who this officer is, how much experience you got. We don't know her credentials. Come off and question that, bro, boy, that young man. I mean, excuse me, but that young man, I'm sorry. They not there to make sure and ensure that Zion be credible, but they all part of the same system. Regardless of how we may think, you know, because it was a better way to handle it. And he should have subpoenaed that officer that questioned that young man. Why didn't you get on the phone and call? But they could have went across the street, just like the man said, and talked to Mr. James and find out, hey, do you have, you know, do you have this information?
But he said he didn't see Mr. James and his sister and his niece and his nephew. So obviously they were not paying attention to their surroundings because they never saw him sitting on the stoop across the street.
Didn't try to.
That part.
Didn't want to.
That part.
Exactly.
And you know what, young?
You know what I'm saying? Look, they went off in this thing, treating this thing as a hostile situation. Two little kids that ain't supervised by their parents. So he put his little Superman cape on, and she put hers on, and they figured between they 10th grade minds put together, I ain't going to give them 10th grade, I say 5th grade minds put together, that's the best thinking they could possibly come out with.
Well, see, my thing is this. This should be the last shooting like this by the Fort Worth Police Department. First of all,
and
it sounds
I agree with
like,
you.
No, they got to stop telling us that what they can't do, and they got to start following some policies and procedures that we can all expect and see when they out here on the street. First of all, we should demand that they do what I call DRT, deprogram you from this previous thinking that you can just go out here and do whatever. So whatever
right.
you thought your training was, you need to be reprogrammed. Secondly, you need to be retrained to what you should be doing out there. And last but not least, they need to teach critical thinking. You need
right.
to know that, yeah, whatever's happening, you need to stop, analyze what's going on. Use some degree of discernment. And then execute your training after you've done those two things to know what to do based on your general
order.
Well,
that's what the gentleman said today, Gary, in court.
Huh?
He said that he was saying that the expert for the state,
mm-hmm.
that's what he was saying all the while.
I'm just saying.
And what he was saying, it was they thinking, the way they process.
But see, first of all, we got to stop hiring people who you
that's
know
right
in an
there.
Interview there's a problem. You,
that
you
part,
seriously?
No,
most
look,
of them,
hey.
Huh?
Hey, look, listen. Look, I'm going to help y'all out, right? Because just like this, the guy was saying about Officer Dean, right? But
mm-hmm.
y'all have to understand what Central Division B is.
Mm-hmm.
This division is where they send all the bad cops that
oh, wow.
mess
yeah.
up somewhere else. They send them here.
That's right. That's right. You sure
so
right
they
right.
already messed up somewhere else.
That
so all
true.
The cops that I'm dealing with that keep arresting me for filming them doing the same thing that they're saying they're not doing, harassing people, racial profiling them. And every time that I walked up to a traffic stop, I always hear, we pulled you over because this is a high crime area and you look suspicious. Not, I pulled you over because you ran a light or your lights out or your inspection sticker. That's not what I hear. So then they come aggressive at me because that's what I'm trying to pinpoint. That's where Aaron Dean's out of. That's where the other chick's out of. That's where Hoffman, that's where Cotton is. See, all these officers are here, and the supervisors are no better because they're not addressing the problem. They're covering it up and helping them get away with it. And this is my point. This is what I've been saying, right? They've gotten to a point to where everything they've done to citizens, it's wrong. They've created crimes, escalated situations, and they've gotten away with it, and they get comfortable in their psych because this is what they're using. They're thinking. So now their thinking is, well, we can practically do whatever the fuck we want because we're not going to be held accountable. They're going to help us make sure we're clear on everything we do wrong. So when someone loses their life, now they're like, what do we do? You have to acknowledge the problem, which is the way you not only train them, but when they go to a certain division, the supervisors already know that these dudes are no good. So instead of saying, hey, you shouldn't even be on the force because this is the last chance division that we're in. So that's why everybody here that's not rich in Central Division B gets harassed, pulled over, beat up, lied on, body camera turned off, everything. Because why? Because there is something that can't be put on these cops. And they're showing you in court, even though everyone knows he murdered an innocent woman in her home. Irregardless of what she was doing inside does not give another cop the right to kill someone, because that's why they're focused on his policies, procedures, because that's the only thing that protects him when he does something like that. They're proving that he violated that policy and procedure. Therefore, he is guilty of murder.
And they alluded to the Jerry Waller case today. And Jerry Waller was killed, I believe, in the Woodhaven area several years ago. When he was in his own garage, police just showed up at they were supposed to be across the street at a silent alarm, and they're wandering over in his backyard. He comes to his garage with his gun because he's protecting his property, understand your ground, and he ends up dead. So they talked about that case today, but when you get through, Tatiana Jefferson and Jerry Waller are both two classic examples of people who were in their own yard. In some kind of way, they end up dead at the hands of Fort Worth police, and then all of a sudden, nobody's responsible for their death. Something's wrong with that.
No, that's where that host is. They got the city paid that out. I read that man's credentials, and when Halstead tried to come to Mr. Waller's house, his daughter cussed Halstead one end down the other. He said, "I'm gonna get you." I'm gonna get you. And then you know, rich white folks, man, you can't make them type of mistakes. And Bessie Price urged him right on up out of there too.
I'm just saying, y'all.
Why she got rid of Halstead, man? You can't. And I guarantee you, the city paid that off and still paying that off.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's just being real, cause number one, that was a private community. you can't do that on private property, and that's what got them hung. See, they got them rich white folks got money to dance with the devil. See what I'm saying? They ain't gonna fly.
Yeah,
they ain't gonna fly.
Was on private property, and let's be clear.
We get that part about private property because the expert said that they went in without having no warrant or jurisdiction.
It was a warrantless search. And when you go in the backyard,
And he told them, that's what I'm saying. He really sternly said that they didn't have that authority to be in that woman's backyard. And based on training and policy, you don't go into no enclosed area of the unknown. And he said you could have had made surveillance, or they could have went in that house. You could have been there, and anybody that's in the middle.
Okay, for some reason, he's going in and out. Like you're going in and out. One thing somebody said to me today is that Fort Worth PD is setting themselves up for a class action lawsuit where this trial is proving everything that people have been saying all along. You know,
yeah,
that,
exactly.
That, you know, yeah. Does that make sense, y'all?
A lot.
Yeah, it's
sense.
Institutional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just saying. They can play this trial and get one man off, but the city may be sued for years to come because exactly the actions that Aaron Dean has exhibited and testified to is exactly what people have been complaining about concerning the Fort Worth Police Department. There's no accountability. They lie about things. You know, they falsify documents. You name it. We've
destroy
seen it in
destroy evidence.
Destroy evidence. We've seen it in this trial.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how are you going to say somebody had a green laser on a gun, but you never saw the green laser? To me, the green laser wasn't – you can't say you had a reason to shoot, but you never saw hands and you never saw a green laser on a gun.
That's subterfuge on that part.
Yeah, not only that, because if he saw a gun, she would have saw one too, because she was allegedly she was right next to him. They were back to back.
Well, remember, now I'm gonna tell you where Dart is lying at y'all. Dart says she saw a Tatiana's eyes and they were big as saucers. Okay, well,
yeah.
How you see her eyes big as saucers and you didn't see the green laser?
He didn't see the
green laser. I'm just saying. He sees the barrel of a gun, but he doesn't see any hands, and he sees a silhouette. I mean, they just sound like they're crazy. I mean, the exact same thing that they have repeatedly accused other people of is exactly what they sound like when they're trying to make this defense on the stand. It sounds like you got some crazy cops on the street. That's exactly what it sounds like. When a man says he shot a silhouette instead of a person, come on, y'all. I mean, but he feared for his life. Silhouettes don't kill people. And people can't shoot guns without hands. So what kind of crazy defense are we really putting on here? You know, but they want us to believe that he's a trained robot on autopilot who's shooting at silhouettes who have guns in the center of them but don't have hands, and some kind of way they have green lasers activated. But I don't know, he doesn't see it? Or did the green laser allegedly, if she even had the gun in her hand at all, did the green laser come on when she dropped the gun to the floor? But I just question any time you see it, huh?
One of the things I was just waiting the fact that how many other times have Aaron Dean done this to other people? I believe everything's going to come out on Aaron Dean when it's all over said and done, because I refuse to believe this is not his first screw up. I'm sure he's done a whole lot more. This is just the only one that's gotten the tragic results that it was all going to eventually get to.
Wow.
So I think that's something that has to be considered.
Yeah, I agree with you.
There's going to be a serious investigation on this whole thing from start to finish.
That's the reason. This is the powerful thing that every attorney knows. Every criminal law attorney knows that the powerful thing about going to trial is perjury. The penalty of perjury. That's why they get up there, and it's a powerful thing. But that's exactly why the state did not put on any of the other police officers who had firsthand, who had a lot of all of this. I mean, really, all of the technically, theoretically, all of that expert testimony is technically, by the law, by the rules of evidence, it's called admissible hearsay. They have inadmissible hearsay and they have admissible hearsay. So it's expert opinion. They have no firsthand knowledge of facts. And what I'm telling you is that a jury has to have material witnesses that can sit there and say, I was on this scene. I saw the body laying on the floor. That is what is dramatically impactful in a trial. And so the reason that they didn't bring Cotton and all of the other 10 officers that showed up on the scene is because if they put them on that scene, it's exactly what you're saying. If the defense wants to impeach those officers for saying something bad. It turns into a pinball, a big old freaking crossfire match. So if Cotton sits there and tells something on Aaron Dean that hurts him, then what the defense is going to do is they're going to get up and they're going to bust out Cotton. So and then everybody's got to worry about telling the truth, because it's like you said, when it comes out, and then there they are on the hook for perjury.
Yeah,
so
that's why the state
deliberately wanted to bring these external components to prove their case, and that's bullshit.
Well, to me, I think they try to prove non-biased because they know cops are going to get up there and lie, for one. They're going to get up there and lie.
But I think you cannot, though, walk away from this trial if you're the Fort Worth Police Department and have the confidence of the community anymore. The vote of confidence is lost. So I don't know if Chief Noakes is really ready for that hit, but there is no reason to have a vote of confidence for that department anymore, because you have shown us that an officer will lie about why he shot and killed someone. I mean, literally in 1 minute and 17 seconds when he failed to follow every policy, every general order. I mean, he just literally zoomed right past everything with the preconceived notion about what was going on due to the area that it was in, and decided, okay, whoever comes to the window is the bad guy, so therefore they got to go, even if it looks like a silhouette. It makes no sense. Let me add something to this, y'all. What if, remember Zion said, Tatiana told him she thought a raccoon was in the backyard. What if little Zion had followed Tatiana to the window? Aaron Dean told y'all he didn't know what was behind her, so he couldn't possibly kill Zion as well, because he was in a rush with all of these preconceived notions about what was going on, none of it based on fact. That's scary.
And that would have been capital murder, because he was under 10.
Oh, wow. I'm just saying, it makes no sense. It just makes no sense that a grown man who's trained got a big gun with a flashlight on it out there looking for bad guys that didn't exist in somebody's backyard. And so when you get through, where are you at? Tatiana's dead, and literally nobody's taking responsibility for her death.
Well, the thing it's like the analyst said here, had he did what the general order said, all this could have been prevented.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the general was.
We're going to call again. But go ahead, Malik, I'm listening. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, I'm going to say, and that's what we got to understand. This dude didn't follow, nor did Miss Doris follow, what they were trained to do in those situations. That's the hiccup. Now, if you got your gun out in that flashlight so he can clearly see the target, nothing in his mind said de-escalate. You pass two entryways. And like that gentleman said, based on general order, you supposed to cut. If you think somebody bad, why wouldn't you cover the entryways or call for backup? That's one thing Mr. Dean didn't answer and wasn't able to answer, because he's not going to answer that question, because he did something that was totally contrary to what he was taught to do.
Wow. Carol Harrison, Lafayette.
Until Dale kind of broke him down about his general order, and he finally admitted that he didn't follow procedure.
Right. I agree. So good evening, Carol. How are you?
Good evening. I've had better days, but I'm going. I'm good.
So you've actually been inside the courtroom every single day.
Yes, I've been totally listening in, for a few seconds, and I'm just got to agree with the gentleman. The other thing that's really like getting me back. It's just like, show me your hands. And then it's like, pow, you know, didn't even get her chance to even show her hands. And it seems like to me that the way that they're going with this whole case is that they're trying to rule it as some type of accident. Maybe, you know, like you were saying, manslaughter or something, you know, trying to blame it on the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what,
it's just
okay, take us here. What is the mood in the courtroom? You know how when you are a discerning person, you can walk into a room and you can kind of discern what's going on. What do you feel when you walk into the courtroom?
I'm feeling from the Dean's family, what I've been doing is doing a lot of observation. Mm-hmm. And during the breaks, I see Aaron Dean go over to his family, and they're laughing and giggling and, you know, mingling, where you see a lot of the African-Americans, they're more like trying to get out the courtroom. I feel a lot of tension in there. There are a lot of strict rules. Since I have been there, there has been someone who's gotten kicked out the courtroom, and this has just been repeatedly by the bailiff. And just the fact that last week, after 3 days, the whole state just rested its case, you know, just everything that's going on now, it just shows just how much Fort Worth, Texas needs help.
Mm-hmm.
This judge and 396, he doesn't have components that runs against him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's elected in again. And then you
so
have Fort Worth.
Let me ask you this. Pause right there. Does Gallagher seem like he's in a rush to you? Judge Gallagher, yeah, that is.
It seems like to me that it's in a rush. It's like, okay, I'm just ready to get this over with. It, you know, it's the holidays, it's December, it's the end of the year. It doesn't seem like, it's not being treated like a high-profile case like it should. I'm almost even thinking about the mental evaluation. Did they even give him a mental evaluation? You know, this followed right after the Bolt and John case out of Dallas.
Yeah.
And just listening to him testify, all the lies that he told, I just feel like that he was an opportunist. He just wanted to just be known. He planned what he was going to do. And the fact that he said that he didn't even know she was black or white, you knew that was a black neighborhood.
Let me pause you because you made a very good point. That was behind the Botham John case, but that was also after the firing of Police Chief Joel Fitzgerald, where in a six-month period there had been 10 shootings and 6 fatal at the hands of the Fort Worth Police Department. She was the sixth fatal. She was the sixth person fatally shot by the police department, but there had been 10 total shootings in a six-month period under the leadership of the former chief, Ed Crowell. So excellent point that you mentioned that, but okay. I'm sorry, continue.
Right, so when you really start doing the studying, it's just like almost like that it was almost literally planned. You say that you didn't even know what color she was, but yet you chose to work that area and you knew it was predominantly black. Just the different lies of testimony of did she have the gun pointed or did she didn't? Did she lit it down? It was just too much conflict in his testimony as he stood on that stand, sat on the stand.
How was
in
his
the
family
world
looking? Let me ask you this. How was his family looking when he was repeatedly saying, I didn't do good police work. I didn't do good police work. I didn't do good police work. But then he gave himself a B grade between, you know, on a scale of A to F. He said he gave himself a B. How was his family looking when he said that?
The family was just basically looking just like they are just cold-hearted. that's one of the reasons why I was just so glad that the attorney pointed out and asked him, who are you looking at? Why are you looking? And it was like he was looking for approval from his attorney. And it didn't even seem like he was drinking anything, even out that cup. It seemed like it was just nothing in that cup at all. I think that they gave him that cup and told him, if you get nervous, just act like you're drinking. Because they, you know, and so it was just a lot. But the jury, they had pads. That's something new to me. I've been writing on pads. It's just a lot going on.
Okay, let me say this then. Okay, so when you just mentioned he kept looking over his defense team, I disagree with you. He was. I think he was saying, "Get him off me! Get him off me! Get him off me!" Because the prosecution wasn't letting up. So I think he was expecting that his team was going to object to some of those things that the prosecution or the state was saying. And I think that's why he was so nervous and he was sweating, is because he was not able to handle the pressure. And he was expecting them to know when to jump in to save him, and they didn't. Could that be possible?
Yeah, that is a really good theory. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that could have been that way. Yeah, it could have. Yeah.
But let me say something, and I'm just going to put this out there. Carol has done several live videos where she said there's been some tension in the courtroom, and she felt like other activists in the Fort Worth area were putting Kerry King, is that what's his name? Was that his name? Bayless?
Yes.
Kerry King? Okay.
Yes.
So they felt like she felt like that they were basically directing him to get her out of there. Y'all, I'm going to say this. And I feel so sorry.
Hold on, Kerry. No, we ain't finna start that bullshit. That's a lie. You ain't finna finger nobody in Fort Worth, directing nobody at nobody, man. We been calm. We been peaceful. So, we ain't finna put that in the air, because I've been down there.
Okay.
Primarily, we all on the same page. We ain't finna start that bullshit, man.
Okay. Well, let me finish.
Stir this goddamn hornet's with me if you want to.
Okay, let me
finish. Stir the goddamn hornet's with me tomorrow, and you know how I rock. But we not finna do that. We don't need no separation in the community, man.
Let me finish.
We ain't finna do that.
No. Malik, hold up.
I ain't gonna tolerate it.
Malik, let me finish. Okay. First of all, that storm came through here this morning, a tornado, right after Aaron Dean testified. Y'all, we need to pay attention. God ain't playing in this situation. He has pulled the veil off of the Fort Worth Police Department and exposed every lie that they have told for years and years and years and years. We are at the cusp of whatever's going to happen, and it's going to be big. We can't be against each other. We can't be fighting each other right now. We can't do that in any way. And if we do, we need to do it in private, period. Do like other races do. If we go fight each other, let's go in the back room and talk about it. And then when we come out smiling. Because you know what? We got to be a unified front right now. Period. Y'all better wake up. They ain't playing with us in Fort Worth right now. If Aaron Dean gets off of the murder of Tatiana Jefferson, ain't no black man safe in Fort Worth. And we need to recognize that. And so I don't care if I don't like you. I don't care about what you've done in the past. We can't do that no more. We need each other. We don't even understand. We need each other. We got to have each other's back, because guess what? Ain't nobody got our back. And if it's because I am. I'm tired of this, y'all. We got to get together. We got to rearm in prayer. This situation is spiritual. It ain't even on a natural level. We fight against wickedness in high places. There's a stronghold over Fort Worth. Can't y'all see that? It's bigger than us. And the only weapon we got is prayer and unity. That's all we got right now. And if we fail unity, we still stuck. God is able to do anything? He is able to do anything. He moves in the impossible. But you know what? Faith without works is dead. That means we got to get up and do something too. We got to come together. We got to show if we 13% or we 2%, we united. And we united against the fact that if you're killing us, we're going to speak up. And we're going to have each other's back. We got to stop this. We don't even understand the battle that we're fighting. And y'all typically, y'all know I'm the type, I narrate shows. I try not to say very much at all. That's why I keep a panel full of people, so I don't say what I really think. I really do pay attention to how I move. I have loads of people on my panel every week because I try not to come on here and tell you how I'm really feeling. But tonight I'm full because I have sense enough to know no matter what they come back with, we're going to catch hell. And if we are not united, we're going to catch double hell. And we are not safe. We are not safe as individuals. We got to move as a unit, period.
Yeah.
Because we're facing a whole system.
Yeah. I have to agree with you on that. That old bailiff, Kerry King, oh, he's going to regret he did what he did. He lied.
I agree. He's an A. You know what I'm saying? He's an A-hole. I agree with you 110% because he's been jugging since day one.
Oh, yeah.
We can't let him do that, though. We got to call him out.
And that's what I did.
If he's trying to divide y'all, that ain't right.
Yeah. He told me that he said the family members, and he said you hate it. He said the family members don't want you here. It's some black people don't want you to see. I feel like that started the first day. I can't really call nobody name out because I think they kicked her out because I hadn't seen her no more. But it don't matter. He is a bailiff appointed by that judge, and he thinks he's some type of slave master. And I let him know I'm not the one. I said it. I spoke it. But I had some blacks. Just yesterday too, they in the hallway said I need to be quiet. For what? He's not being quiet. I don't know who he think he talking to, and I meant that. I told the other one last week he gonna holler at me doing research in front of the court. I just simply asked him a question about the phone. He say, get out of this courtroom. I say, hush. I say, you call your mama and yell at her. And I meant what I said. Just because they got that little title in front of their name don't give them the right to think that they can disrespect people. I don't go around disrespecting nobody. They're not going to disrespect me at all. That's why I got everything on video. That Kerry King, he's going to regret. And he still did. He actually apologized to me. Told me he was sorry. Please forgive me. I told him, I go, your apology's not real. You ain't got to apologize to me. I said it all. I said, you're getting ready to be held accountable for your actions. We've got to get the FBI involved. They need a federal investigation. Like I said on the video, go look on that video. I told him that him and Sharon Wilson, y'all both need to go. And then you have black people. Monique, by that time, y'all was already in the courtroom. I said it. I meant it. It's on video. And the little blacks that was in the hallway, oh, she got to go. Pamela Young, you videotaped me and Leon mean mugging me. Y'all are attorneys. If you don't abide by the law, I'm gonna call the state. Okay, I'm gonna call your state board. We cannot be having people because they hold titles and they have credentials and they're abusing their authority too. Half of them people that got rid of Chief Fitzgerald, it wasn't just no David Cook them. It was black people that looked just like us. It was black people that looked just like us.
You lying about that, y'all. Because certain things I disagree about the way they did Fitzgerald. I'm like, Kerry, if you got a problem with your brother,
yeah, take him in the closet.
Let's sidebar. Let's figure it out and get some resolve. But us pointing these fingers, we playing right into their hands. If my team stood down and I held my people back, and trust and believe, I got enough juice to gas like some of these youngsters, if I so choose. But I ain't doing that because it's not helping my young brother. My main concern is my heart is so heavy with Zion. He the one who got to pack this for the rest of his life. Do you know what it feel like when he wake up screaming and hollering and pinning that tape in that boy's mind? You know, that's where my mind is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I agree with Sister Kerry. Mm-hmm. I don't even like putting this in the atmosphere. It has mm-hmm. nothing to do, because it ain't going to bring my sister back. I was there mm-hmm. day one in that backyard. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Going through that trauma, looking at what this man did with his illogical thinking, this hate for people to look like us. But, you know, let's not – we got to learn to agree to disagree on certain things.
That's
if we can agree to disagree without going to social media and doing all that little extra stuff, man, we too old for that, for one. Secondly, how is it going to help? Because at the end of the day, if it do go wrong, a lot of people that's on this phone ain't going to be out there. Because
yeah.
it's going to be, it's a whole different set of Afro-American young folks that's coming with this storm that brother Sister Carrie talking about. And I know mm-hmm. exactly what you're talking about, Sister Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it ain't going to, it may not be no prayer vigils on this go around. It may not mm-hmm. be no marching this go around. So mm-hmm. that's what my prayers are for, because these young folks, sister, they don't give two sticks or licks or nothing.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say this.
What'd
you say, brother?
I said the hunt is on and the hate is real.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Sir.
And let me say this. If I got a problem with anybody, it's squash mm-hmm. tonight. We ain't mm-hmm. got to talk about it.
That's
I'm
right.
done with it. So we all need to get right there tonight. Whatever problem you thought you had with somebody, squash it tonight.
Yeah,
put it in the sea and forget for me and move on.
I mean, because we need
each other. We're going to Aaron Dean, and then we want to hear from Robert. Carol, what did he say? Adrian, good evening. You're on Lifestyle Fort Worth.
Hey, everybody. Good evening. Just a quick observation. You know, like I stated to you, Carrie, I'm not I'm just a fly on the wall. You all, I'm getting most of the perspective from you all. I divested from the not because I was not interested or it's not important to me, but I divested from the trial since day one because of, you know, just I feel like it was starting to go another, you know, just from day one, another direction. But in the spirit of a Tatiana, I'm in support. In the spirit of all those who've been since day one up until now, I'm in support. I would say this, though. You know, what you spoke of regarding the wickedness in high places and what we're truly dealing with, because, you know, we're wrestling out against flesh and blood. You know, it's not each other, you know, the physical that we're fighting against. It's the spiritual, you know. And we know that within a forward PD, there's like you say, it's some demonic forces within that PD. And I would say this, since that Sunday of the prayer vigil they had, that's what I've been holding on to. I've been holding on to that Sunday of that prayer vigil, just being there, the various prayers that went forth, and then how the sister, they did something different with the sister, just bringing up our ancestors, and then a brother who brought about a different form of praise. All that, so I'm holding on to that to get me through this trial. But we one who go on record said I haven't been. Now I did click on it when just so I ever clicked on when Dean was testifying, and then I tried to leave the house and start watching it, but it started buffering, and I just got a real quick inkling in my spirit. Okay, you got to stick to this, because I'm trying not to allow my spirit to go another direction, you know, because of stuff I'm interpreting, you know. So I said, okay, I'm gonna just stick with the way I've been doing it. But I'm gonna just say this: let's be mindful. A Tatiana did what anybody that's about. She was in protection mode. For one, she was in a house. Her household was. She should have been. She was protected in her home. They were protected in their home for first and foremost. Now let me give y'all a quick observation. Those two doors are open, right? But I guarantee you they were latched. I guarantee you they were latched, locked. They weren't just open. I guarantee you those two doors were latched.
You know
I guarantee they were
right.
latched.
You're right.
I guarantee they were latched,
they
locked.
They were open. You're right. That's a great observation.
Yeah, the doors are open. Yeah, just where you can see in. But I guarantee you Tatiana didn't say, let me just leave them open and leave them unlocked. No. So my thing is this. You took time to do your little police work, but why you didn't pull on the door to see if it was open? Well, I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm divest. But I would say this: Tatiana was in protection mode. She was trying to. She was thinking about her nephew, and she was thinking about her. And anybody in that situation, would have been in protection mode. You know what I'm saying? So she did nothing wrong. She did nothing wrong. Hopefully, this jury gets it right. Hopefully, they can just separate the. We see it. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence?
Wow.
Please, where's all this evidence? All the evidence is missing. Where is it? Jury.
You know what? And let me say this, because I'm agreeing with you. You know what? I put it on Facebook, and I caught some heat behind it. But, yeah, I said the jury's going to deliberate. Everybody needs to submerge on that courthouse and just make a prayer chain all around that Tim Curry building and just walk and pray, because prayer does still work.
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
Carrie, that's reminded of the walls. Oh, Carrie, the walls of Jericho.
Just walk around that courtroom
until we get a decision. Walk around that courtroom in units of spirit.
Yes.
Saying the same thing. Occupy that space. The walls of Jericho. The walls.
I'm not saying go inside that building. Go around that building. No, I'm saying
walk around it. Walk around that courtroom. It's like the walls of Jericho. We gotta bring justice down. And I'm gonna say this. And this is the, because like I said, if I say something, I can stand on it. But this is not directed at no one. Regardless if you were there day one or you just got there, we talking about justice, y'all. And we know justice. It takes a, oh my goodness, does justice know us? I don't know, but you know what, we're talking about justice. So whether you been there day one or you just got there, remember this, you all, we all in this together. Justice for Tatiana Jefferson.
That's it. Thank you,
Carrie.
Thank you. Robert, you were there. What did you see inside the courtroom?
I seen a bunch of prejudice. I seen a bunch of uninformed individuals under their own understanding. I seen a lot of us that didn't want to unite, and a lot of ungodly things that where people say they go to church every Sunday. Well, you know, you're living like hypocrites. So for me, to see what needs to be, what it is I've seen a lot of things where, I mean, I'm looking at how the offense brought about a bunch of things to the open world. The officer lied. He got caught in lies. He realized that he was lying. He admitted to it. You know, when he consistently asked him, did he think that he did a good job? And the officer said no. Was he a good officer? No. And even when he asked him to get in the position of how he looked at Tatiana at the time that she was in the house, and what did he see? He made him get in the position, and in no form or fashion did it look like that she was in a position to shoot, or he was in a position to even shoot her. So it was just devastating how, after all of the lies that he was caught in, that even through the process where he tried to show emotions for the first and only time, which, I mean, you have to forgive me, because I just don't see that. My heart, as much as I love the Lord, I see that, you know, Satan is busy. Satan is working through people, you know, right in our face. So even with the separation of our people,
how, you know, come on now, the last thing that we need is separation. That's the last thing. So if you're asking me, it's so much that I've seen, so many thoughts of what I saw. I can only say that I seen it.
Tell us about the witnesses. Did you find them believable?
Well, no. I didn't see any positive thing out of what they said. I didn't see anything that they could actually hold concrete to. You know, you come in and you just want to try to protect your fellow officer, and that didn't make sense to me, because all you could talk about really was maybe he say, she say, which that's not supposed to stand in court, but that's what it looked like and sounded like. So it's just, it's at a point now where, why are you guys even talking? Why did you even get on the stand? So, I mean, I understand, let's be just. Well, let's face the facts. It hadn't been any justice for this case at all anyway. And now that it has been presented as to giving an example and the exact facts of what has happened, then you still want to belittle it? You still want to break it down? You still want to tear it up?
Let me ask you this. You were inside the courtroom. What were your thoughts when he said he needed to see her hands? Their training said, you know, there's danger in the hands. So when he said he told her to put up her hands, show me your hands, even though we know that the shot was fired when he said the word show, how is it that he could possibly testify to the fact he told her to put up her hands, but he says he saw the barrel of a gun, but he never saw any hands? I mean, it's just all over the page. Did it make sense to you?
No, it didn't make sense. That's the very thing I'm referring to when I said, you know, he said that he told her to put up her hands, as you said, and that didn't happen. He didn't see that her hands. He didn't even give her a chance to raise her hands, really. So, and that's the good thing about what the attorney did, was make him get in the position and make him show everyone what it looked like when he told her to show her hands. So, you know, at that point, I really wanted to get up and go tell the attorney, hey, give me a high five, man. Judge, you can throw me up out of here. It's done. So,
but I don't know if anybody caught these little subliminal things I caught. First of all, I never saw them let him handle the gun, because they never wanted to put the gun in his hand. So they never wanted the jury to see him with the gun. So if you remember, he showed you how to use a flashlight, but his defense held the gun. Did y'all catch that?
Well, that was too deadly. And by putting a gun in his hands, well, I mean, it's already pretty much so been proven that he shoots people fast, shoots us fast, I'll put it like that. So he don't think second for one for shooting people of color. And it's obvious by what has happened to Tatiana. So if you show that in court, wow.
Yeah. He does not want the jury, they did not want the jury to be left with the memory of Aaron Dean holding the gun. Because that
exactly.
Was making it illegal. Yeah. And they even made sure that the gun that they used was a play gun and it was red as opposed to black, because they did not want him to have that mental image of him with that black gun in his hand that he used.
You
want
to get a flash back up.
Yeah.
Well, that's the truth of the matter. And then when you look at it, whether it was orange, blue, green, whatever the color is, the facts still remain without a shadow of a doubt.
Terry, am I on? Can I ask a question?
Sure. court. Yeah, you're on.
Hey, quick question. Am I understanding correct? They're not going to include Zion's testimony nor the earlier recording that he went through 3 years ago into the jury's decision?
Oh, no, they're trying to use his 8-year-old testimony. They're trying very much to use that.
What did I read that at? The gaggle, they're not going to include. What did I read that at?
The last witness, they slipped it in on him. They said, can you agree that Zion and Aaron Dean are in agreement that they saw a Tatiana Jefferson point a gun? Well, that's a blatant lie because Aaron Dean didn't even say a Tatiana pointed the gun. Neither did Zion. So how did the prosecution miss the opportunity to object to that? Y'all paying attention? I'm just saying. But they slipped.
Well,
I
tell you what, when you try to dress things up, of course you're going to try to override a whole lot of things.
Say what, Reggie?
After the ass whooping he got yesterday, they gave him one back today. He got the Ike Monday because he had nowhere to run and nowhere to hide on all the stuff he was trying to say. And the one thing I will agree on with Aaron Dean, yeah, I grade him a B, too. B for bullshit. That's the only grade he gets, as far as that goes, because the whole thing, what he said and did was just totally lame. And he really told a lot of himself as to how he felt not only that night, but then how he felt all in general. You remember when he asked the prosecutor, I could be home now if I wanted to. You know, you remember that part? That gave you an idea of just what his mentality was about the whole thing. He felt like he was bored or something.
I think I heard him testify that from K through 12th grade, he was homeschooled. So I kind of get the impression that he was not socialized well, so he has like poor social skills, so maybe he was bullied. You know, that kind of thing. So I kind of get the impression maybe he's nerdy or was nerdy or is nerdy. And so
he's nerdy. We get that.
Yeah.
But I feel like that night he was just showing out in front of Deutsch about how to do a proper property check. Because
you said that, Adrian.
At no point in time is the police ever allowed to check someone's backyard without a search warrant. And
correct.
Then at that late at night at 3 a.m., that's a recipe for disaster. Because if I hear somebody in my backyard at 3 a.m., I'm not going to no goddamn window. I'm going outside and see what the hell's going on. And the light they're going to see is going to be my muzzle flash.
Well, what would you all thought?
Car out front, I didn't call the police. What the hell y'all doing over here will be my question.
But what are your thoughts when Aaron Dean said if a Tatiana Jefferson had came out of the back of the house pointing that gun, the same results may have, you know, taken place? What kind of stuff is that when you still never announced that you were the police officers and it's in the middle of the night and I hear somebody and I come outside? What happened to de-escalate? Man, put the gun down, police. He didn't say I would say that. He said the same thing may have happened.
Well, you got to look at it from day one. In a split second, he took her life. So it's no time for a thought process to occur. He didn't give it a thought.
But that's conditioning and training. They teach that.
No, if you look at the teaching that he talked about, I mean, it wasn't too much other than what he thought.
No, what I'm saying is that the little qualified immunity crap they hide up under, they say that the officer has a millisecond to make a decision. If he live or die, if they feel threatened. In those instances, supposedly that's what they try to ride on. But thing of it is, his not following procedure put himself in harm's way. That's what the gentleman was saying, the expert was saying. You walked into and placed yourself in area of the unknown. That's not taught. You don't do that. You could have, easy as you could have opened that gate, easy you could have closed that tumbuck and backed yourself out and called for backup.
Well, and not even just that, the fact that he didn't even say police.
Okay,
when you get over someone's house, you gotta identify yourself. This is what I wanna ask.
Exactly. And that's simple. And that's
when y'all are listening to the closing arguments tomorrow, I want you to listen to what I read right here, because this is gonna be the determining factor if there's gonna be any way that the jury's gonna get swayed for a guilty verdict. These words right here, this is the penal code for the qualifying the defense, self-defense. And there's a subchapter in the section, and it says the defense provided by this section is unavailable if the actor intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly placed himself in a situation which it was probable that he would be subjected to the compulsion. And the compulsion would be shooting somebody. So
is that police? That's for you know what? That's interpreted for civilians. I know exactly what you're talking about. And all them laws that you're talking about are not directed towards the cops. Anything in the penal code is directed for civilians. Open that section 921 to 942. I know exactly what you're talking about. If you look at the legal analysts and when this first stuff was written, a lot of that stuff had to deal with protecting your property, and that was not utilized for police officers.
No.
And that's another thing we need to quit misinterpreting how these stuff was written. And a lot of that stuff was written for civilians.
Well, they don't even consider us to be a full human being. So, once again, it goes back to square one.
Yes, sir. But either way it goes, only thing, really, we can analyze it all we want to. It's about them 12 in the box, y'all. We just have to look and see that these people, and in this closing argument that Mr. Smith do what he's supposed to do, so these people can make an adequate and sufficient decision. I'm skeptical of certain jurors off in there, and it's just how it is. But we just got to lean on the Creator. Like Kerry said, it is spiritual that the Creator allow these people to make the right decisions.
Well, even with that being said, I do agree with what you're saying. However, what we fail to do is to unite and come together and allow our culture, our people, and God to fulfill his promise. If we unite, he said, where two or more gathered in his namesake, it shall be given, right? Now, we can't even get 10 of us in a room to agree together.
I don't understand what you're talking about, Comrade, because I'm at a total loss.
Well, the thing about it is...
From the time I've been in that court area, it has been no confusion amongst...
Oh, it has been some confusion. They have attacked Carol.
It happened, bro. I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you what I've seen. So, I mean, with the attack being upon Carol, the attack being in a manner that, we don't want these people in the courtroom from what the family has said, you know, so, I mean, I don't understand that.
Hold up. We agreed earlier we're going to take this to a sidebar, remember? We ain't going to let them see us fighting amongst each other. We ain't going to do that. That's wisdom, Robert. Hear me. They want to fight.
Okay. I'm not even trying to fight. I was just stating what I saw, what was there in front of me.
I'm agreeing, but I'm just saying they want us to vote.
Don't put it in the atmosphere, brother. That's what she's saying. Let it go, bro.
Okay. Let's not go in private.
That's what she's talking about. Thank you, Sister Carrie.
What we want to see is our fist closed and we unite and locking our arms.
My apologies.
No need to apologize. I'm just saying we're going to let them know that we can get along and we ain't going to fight amongst each other.
Exactly.
And if we do, it's going to be in a closed room like they do. So anyway, y'all know where I'm going with that, so I'm moving on.
Yes.
But let's say this. Pay attention, y'all follow me. So what we see here in this Aaron Dean trial is a lot of people felt like the defense and the prosecution was working together to get Aaron Dean off. So do y'all think that was the case? Did it seem like that? Wow.
Man, they came out the gate just full. I ain't going to lie. They came out the gate sorry.
Yes.
Terrible.
I think that they were working together, too. I got to say that. They work for the state. They white at the end of the day. They still got to be in Fort Worth. And that's what my job is. I don't want to fight now, brother or sister. I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. My fight is these white people, racist people. But we do got some problems with our own race. They, you know, all this black-on-black crime. We can't be against each other. I can't control nobody. People can say what they want to say. They're going to do it, okay? But we do got to come together. I agree. We got to come together. It's time for some changes in Fort Worth. And it's going to take all of us to set that stuff aside and heal. My anger, my trauma is from white folks, the injustice. I've been traumatized and victimized by the injustice. I feel for Zion. I know what trauma is all about. At 3 years old, I seen they beat my daddy. They shot my daddy. He was a civil rights leader in Grand Prairie. That stuff was in my head. It was three girls. It happened. My mom was scared. They kicked in our door. People know what we went through. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I could have been anything. My sister chose to be what she is, you know, or whatever. I have another sister to teach school. I do what I do, stand up for justice. I'm not no police officer. If I was, I'd be a darn good one. It's too many people incarcerated. I go inside prisons and jails. It's too many people been traumatized. They've been diagnosed with mental health, and I try to make sure that they get the proper help that they need. I'm down with my black people. I'm proud to be black. I'm proud to be black because no matter how much credentials, degrees that I get, I'm still, that don't matter. We in a system that will never work for us. We don't have no laws. We don't have no bills. We don't have anything. Asian people didn't got a bill to protect them. You say something to them, you're going to get arrested. We still trying to fight. We Robert rules the law, y'all. I don't know whether or not y'all ever heard of it. We still trying to be in a system that was never, ever meant for us to be free. The Constitution was written years ago, decades ago. They didn't even think about black people even being free, neither a black judge. They thought it was slavery, okay? So we got to stick together. In order for us to get some changes made, to hold them accountable, we say justice, we talking about accountability. Okay, we talking about accountability. My first abuse was from a white chief police called me a nigger girl when I didn't even know what a nigger girl was. Spit on my daddy, stomped him. My daddy was shot. Only God, he's 80 years old and he's still alive. He's still alive to this day. So you know, it trickles. I have triggers. I have triggers. Okay, but I'm damaged for the rest of my life when I'm 55 years old. Okay, so when I have a white Bella come and tell me something, you know, I trigger. Number one, you're not just going to violate my civil rights. I'm not going to go the rest of my life being silent. People telling me, shut up, you better be quiet. No, I'm going to say what I want to say. I have credentials, and I thank God for them that covers me. If I'm operating what I do, you cannot arrest me. I don't break the law. Arrest me for what? Now, he said what he needed to say to me. I said what I needed to say to him. And that's I don't want to get into it with a brother or sister.
Right.
Let me
put this in context for anybody who's listening and may be confused. First of all, Carol's not a racist and neither am I. I have white listeners. I have Hispanic listeners. I have black listeners. So we're not saying all black people are bad, because that's not the case. We're not saying all white people are good or all white people are bad. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that there's a system of racism that black people have been fighting for a really long time. And a lot of it, it seems to be rearing its ugly head in this case, in this trial. And so that's what we're addressing. So I'm not racist in the least bit. I don't think Carol is racist in the least bit. What she's addressing is what she experienced from at that trial. And she saw some racism in the way things were being handled. So don't nobody go back and say Carrie's a racist, because Carrie's not, and I don't believe Carol is either. So that's not what's being said here tonight. But I think a lot of what we see in Fort Worth as a whole is a lot of racism. And I think a lot of times they expect black people to stay in their place. And when you don't, they come for you. So they definitely want you to still be trapped in like the Jim Crow era. And so in this particular trial, it seems like that we have allowed them to make this about police policies and procedures and general orders. And that's not what's on trial here, in my opinion. What's on trial here is whether or not Aaron Dean shot and killed Tatiana Jefferson without cause. I mean, to me, I don't know how we let them drag us this far off course, but literally I thought that's what this case was about, but it seems like it's more about general orders.
I think the one thing, when you go to that point, Carrie, I think the one thing I think that was brought up yesterday, I think is going to be a real big hanging problem for Aaron Dean, is the fact that after he shot her, he didn't render no type of first aid to her for over 4 minutes. Those critical minutes could have saved her life. And he just sat there kind of like in his own disbelief as to what happened, as if he failed a Hogan's Alley pistol examination or something. He never have dealt reality and realistically about anything that has happened. And then after 3 years, you would think after 3 years he would have figured out what to say, what not to say, what to do and what not to do. But you can't fix 30-some-odd years of stupid that he's gone through in the past 3 years, not to mention 18 months of being a police officer. You can't fix it, because the stuff that he was saying would be stuff you think, you would have thought that he did this 2 months ago, the way he was acting in court.
But didn't you see with him, he lacked human emotions to even render aid to somebody who's moaning. Be different if she's like unconscious, you know, you say, okay, she probably dead. But he literally is saying she was moaning. I mean, you can hear her on the camera footage. She's moaning loudly, like, somebody come help me. And this man didn't even turn her over. I did not know if Tatiana Jefferson was face down.
He didn't even turn her over. What is a child doing in here doing a burglary? In his warped, demented mind, he's still thinking it's a goddamn burglary call. That's the problem right there.
But hear what I'm saying, though. He lacks human emotion to even feel empathy or sympathy for a victim that he just shot. He knows by the time he goes in there that a Tatiana Jefferson is probably the homeowner and that she's got serious wounds, because he told you he took an aim shot. So he knew that where he was aiming for. Even though he pretends he was shooting a silhouette, obviously he shot the silhouette
He knew enough to shoot the silhouette in her mask, right.
Well, he even admitted it, that the fact that he made sure that the gun was out of the way, and then he just literally just rode right past trying to give help. He tried to make it sound like he tried to render aid, but he just rode right past it in the process of what he was testifying on.
That's part of the routine script, and I'm not generalizing, but it's a culture thing in the police. That's part of the routine script. When you were a police officer who got caught off the rails and you shoot somebody, and there's one story about that I've heard people say is you want to have one story. If she had survived, then there would have been he would have been in a lot. I mean, there would have been a controversy. There would have been two stories being told.
Okay. Well, that's where he would have been able to use fear for my life.
But if you've ever seen it, Courtney Johnson, this, that, whatever, that his victim didn't die, but he tried to sit there and say, "Oh, I tried to render aid." The video proves he didn't. You know, the video
that's just like the guy that got killed in East Texas. I mean, that's like Jonathan Pryce, the one that got shot in East Texas, Wolf City, and then the officer, instead of him trying to render first aid, he put handcuffs on, which pulled his arms behind his back after he put 5 wounds in his chest. That's to hasten him to die as opposed to trying to save his life.
Yeah.
Then when he realized that the man was dead, then he take the handcuffs off of him.
Yeah, well, wait, the Miller thing coming up in Tarrant County now, too, with the Tarrant County Jail.
Let me mention this, y'all, to add insult to injury. Remember in the cross-examination when he said, when he was asked by Dale Smith, how long did it take you to render aid? Dean's reply was, "I don't remember." How long did it take you to render aid? "I don't remember." He said, "Isn't it true, Dean, that you never rendered aid?" And Dean tried to lie and said he turned her over. He says, "No, you didn't turn her over. You only lifted her up." So he never even turned Tatiana Jefferson over. I mean, just to show you the insensitivity of this person. So he was not trying to save her.
That was pretty obvious because he didn't try to render aid at all.
Right. Remember, he lifted her up enough to say he saw the gunshot wound was to her chest. However, even with that, he never turned her over. So how are you going to take an Afghan that you found in a room and you say you pressed it up against her to stop the bleeding, but you never even turned her over? So in my opinion, that's a blatant lie. He just perjured himself. You couldn't have pushed it.
Yeah.
You can't have somebody face down and then you take an Afghan to stop the bleeding if you didn't turn him over.
Well, from the video showed that he didn't render aid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that goes to what I'm sitting there saying. That's why we don't have Carol Darch's video. It's the same thing. They want, because the more data, I'll use Aaron Dean's thing in here. What they don't want people doing is doing the same thing that Aaron Dean did, coming to inferences with the facts. Okay? The facts. And so what they have, we have one body cam video. Carol Darches is missing, right? And we have little short clip of a – and then we have 10 other officers that storm in there, and they're rendering aid. She's not pronounced dead for 30 more minutes. We don't have any evidence or any articulation of what those people seen when they responded to the scene and interacted as material witnesses at the scene. It's baloney. And I wish I'm gonna give a little steam to this thing, because I'm at the point right now, and I would ask people to come on to me. Okay, Aaron Dean is one thing now, but now this Aaron Dean has become a saga. Okay, and we've got the sequel of Aaron Dean with Dale Smith and Ashley, because they did not do the job that they knew they had to do. And then it goes up to Sharon Smith. So, and I mean, we've all said that. We can all agree with that. But everything that we're talking about, green laser, lolly, 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 okay? All that stuff is the smoke screen. And the state's doing it. And they're colluding. It's a smoke screen because there's about 5 facts that any jury is going to consider. Was Aaron Dean lawfully present as a police officer in that backyard? No. He was criminally trespassing. Okay? Was he justified to be having a gun? No. There was no imminent threat. There was no exigency to draw a gun. Right? That's deadly conduct. Okay? And somebody died in the commission of those 2 other crimes. That's murder. I mean, you got to break this down for the jury maybe the jury's really, really intelligent, but with all this smoke screen talking about lasers and general orders and fast clear, they've concentrated way too much on that rather than, and they haven't done anything. This is the other thing that I was thinking. Malice. I haven't heard this. Now what the state has done is done, they slap boxed Aaron Dean around. They made him look like a clown, right? I agree with that. They did a technically good job of slapping him around like a clown while he was on the stand. They did not capitalize on the fact that in a murder case you never ever get the defendant on the stand. Nobody does that. Never.
Yeah, but that was their defense. That was their defense so that they can actually try to get sympathy for him. That's why the dude sat up there and tried to cry.
But as a prosecutor, what that does when he takes the stand, his Fifth Amendment is over. You have a wide open door to do anything. You could ask him about when he groped a girl at UTA before. You can wipe his ass out, and they didn't. They were very restrained, and I don't like that.
Well, the fact that they made sure that he took the stand was because they already know that the dude is guilty. And the only way that they're going to have any form of defense is for somebody or for that jury to feel sorry for him as a person in the same color.
I think the reason Aaron Dean took the stand was to save his own behind, because I think for 3 years they have been contemplating on how they were going to say Zion said she pointed the gun out the window. When they could not get Zion, the 11-year-old Zion, to say what the 8-year-old under duress Zion said, the whole defense crumbled. So split second, they had to decide, what are we going to do? And so they said, okay, we got to send you in. And I think that's what they did. They sent Aaron Dean in to save his own behind. Unfortunately, you know, he was not able to handle the pressure under cross-examination, but he was very articulate, very poised when he talked to the defense. But under cross-examination, he just fell apart. He seemed agitated. He was drinking, Carol said, no water from the cup. He appeared to be sweating. So he showed nervousness.
But what I'm saying is, though, the perfect question, and I'm just a boom, it came off in my head when it happened. When he graded himself a B and he kept hitting that the perfect situation that the prosecutor could have asked him the question, well, if you felt where you were so confident in and happy with your performance of that call, then why was it that 3 days later you resigned at the Fort Worth Police Department? Why didn't you go and make that statement to the Internal Affairs investigation and ride this out and prove your case right there? No,
because of the time.
They didn't hit him where he needed to.
Another thing that you get through,
if he'd have brought that question up, the defense would have said, objection, argumentative. That's what would have happened.
Hey, Kerry, can I make an observation?
Sure.
Oh, hey, y'all. And you all also got to realize, Aaron Dean has been living his life. He hasn't missed a beat the last 3 years. Mm. He's been living his life the last 3 years.
Mm. And
his life has been lived uninterrupted up until this point. Up until this point, his life has been uninterrupted. So it creates a sense of arrogance. You know, they got me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have factored in all the police officers they have got off. I'm mm-hmm. sure that's been factored into him. The POA is not.
They're the biggest bullies, the worst.
The POA is the worst. Mm-hmm. So they afforded this man a lifestyle after the fact that he quit. He's no longer the officer. He's no longer you all's responsibility. Mm-hmm. But you all still want to. That just shows you what we're dealing with. This man,
KKK, is that what you said? KKK.
and I think, Kara, didn't you allude to that? And I think previously you talked to that gentleman. You had the one former and the one current KKK member on your show, remember? And you said, what did he say? Hey, we got y'all.
We no longer.
Yes. Go ahead, Kara. I'll let you. You got it.
Yeah,
we got y'all. We got y'all. We no longer stepping out in our bed sheets. We got y'all. We your doctors. We your lawyers. We the judges. We the police officers. We the teachers.
Yeah,
we everything. We got y'all surrounded on every. So there you go.
And it's in my archive, y'all. I did that show. And you know what? And that's so true because, you know, this trial felt very much like it was planned. It was, you know, they took breaks at exactly the minute they wanted you to remember something. And I want to talk about the defense expert witness, Jay Coons, who basically, in my opinion, was put on the stand behind Aaron Dean first thing today to tell us what Aaron Dean was thinking. Now, why the hell would we need Jay Coons as an expert witness to come in and tell us what Aaron Dean was thinking when Aaron Dean was on the stand the day before and told us what he was thinking? So it was like he was trying to clean up everything that Aaron Dean did was justified, and he even found that his actions that day were reasonable, even though Aaron Dean had repeatedly said he didn't think he did good police work.
He didn't do good police work, and then they were trying to dress it up behind him. So Mr. Coon didn't do a good job either. Even though he was giving his professional opinion, he could only go off of what he thought. And that's not the way that the courts are supposed to work. We don't go in the courts to what you think.
But no, they made a mention of these experts. Hold up. These experts are paid. So let's not forget the experts appear to be testifying based on who paid them. So Jay Coons was an expert who alleged he knew all policies and procedures and this, that, and he taught college and this, that, and the other. However, he almost made himself look stupid in some of the things that he was saying, trying to defend Aaron Dean.
He did look stupid because they asked him those questions. Well, what was Mr. Dean thinking here? And he was answering for it.
Yeah. How can you do that?
He
Nobody
couldn't.
Can answer for Aaron Dean, but Aaron Dean.
That's it.
They had a four-ring circus up there, y'all. It was hard to know what to watch because they were just all over the page. And again, the defense makes no sense. And if they want to tell us that Aaron Dean was a trained robot who basically went to a Tatiana Jefferson's house that night, and basically he perceived a burglary was in progress, even though he didn't see anybody in the front of the house, he then proceeded, he and his partner, Darsh, to go to the backyard and basically go into the backyard, which is basically a warrantless search at that particular point. And within seconds, he's peeped into the window, used his flashlight, drew a Tatiana Jefferson to the window, who he did not identify as a human, but he saw a silhouette with a gun in the middle of it, a barrel he was staring down the eye of. And basically, due to his training and muscle memory, he shot the silhouette. I wish they let me do closing arguments. I'm just saying that's crazy. That sounds. I hope that the Gil. What's his name? Gil. Wait a minute. What is it? Bob Reset and Gil. Yeah. What's his name?
Bob Gil.
Bob Gill and Miles Brzezak don't get up there and follow that teaching from Jim Lane because it's going to sound quite stupid. If they go down that road,
Well, if you look at it, that's what they do. They try to bunch up together and try to make it look right. You know, as much lipstick as you put on a donkey is still a donkey. So they can try to do that all they want to, but the fact still remains the same.
Aaron Dean, Dr. Hill, Tatiana Jefferson, within seconds of going in the backyard without cause. Now, if the jury finds out, and y'all listen, pay attention. I was watching the survey that they put online during the chat while the trial was going on. And listen, guilty was way up at 60%. Not guilty was like in the 20-something. And then hung jury was whatever the difference in the two of those were. So listen, I'm paying attention to what's online. I'm paying attention to what those surveys are showing. And if the jury comes back and says he's not guilty, that's going to be very interesting. That's going to be very interesting. They were able to find 12 people that disagree with the rest of the population.
Hey, Karen, real quick. Another observation. I think I lost my train of thought, but one thing I'm gonna go on record and say, Kerry, because you've been using your platform since 2010, your voice, and you know, you, like you say, pretty much put yourself in, because we know how they operate. We just got to be real. You put yourself in pretty much in harm's way, but we don't walk and we don't live in fear. So I'm gonna go on record, and I think the brothers can agree with me, as well as Chris, he's a brother. I think everybody on this, and a sister, that's all. I think everybody could be in agreement with me. Hey, I'm going on the record. Better not even think about it. So we're going to ride,
you know,
we're gonna ride for this.
We're
going to ride
for this. And listen, keep me lifted up in prayer. But you know what? I want to be very transparent. The reason I have been so verbal on this one is because the Tatiana Jefferson case is exactly what I've been saying about the Fort Worth Police Department, that they lie, that they harass people, that they manipulate situations, that they change so-called facts, and there's no accountability or transparency when you go to complain to the city, when you complain to the police chief, when you complain to internal affairs, when you go to the oversight monitor, nothing. So this trial, in my opinion, it's like, Lord, this is what I've been saying forever and ever. And so have I done these shows with a degree of fear? Absolutely. But you know what I realized? Y'all, a closed mouth don't get fed. And secondly, if we don't scream now, ain't no need to scream it later. Because if Aaron Dean is allowed to get away with this, if they can say that he was justified in going in the backyard in the middle of the night and shooting and killing a Tatiana Jefferson for looking out the window, ain't nobody safe. It's just what it is. And yeah, I want to close with...
It definitely put a whole new twist to qualified immunity. I'll say that much.
Hey, real quick, Karen. I know you're about to close. Hey, real quick, and you got to realize this too. Remember who they used to have a zero tolerance policy for? And they used to have it on their cars. So they're letting us know zero tolerance. They had that for us for years.
Yeah.
It was written on their vehicles. And last observation, Karen. Remember what Attorney Reed said, and they poured it Monday. What did he say the defense was going to do? I caught it and I cut it off, but I caught it when he did it. Judge, we want to know. We want to go ahead and get a no guilty verdict. That stunt the defense attorney. What he did, that's the first thing he did, and the judge shot it down. Said, nope, we're going to continue on.
And they tried that a couple of times. They said, you know, I don't believe the state has proved this case. But, yeah, we want to close on this. First of all, we want to lift Mr. James up in prayer. We want to lift Zion up in prayer. And we want to lift up the family in prayer. But first of all, we want to say about Mr. James. Mr. James could have gone over to that house and stood in the back of that car and decided that he was not going to go in because he had every right as a private citizen to do that. However, he called the police, who were trained first responders, to go in and see exactly what was going on. But he didn't call the 911 number. He called the non-emergency number, and he never told them, danger, danger, danger. He said, my neighbor, I haven't seen her, and these doors are open, and I want y'all to go over there and check it out. So when the defense tried to put James Smith up against Aaron Dean, no, James Smith is not a first responder. And James Smith called who he knew to be first responders to go over and check it out. So it's no it makes no sense that we let them make us believe that James Smith had the same responsibility as the Fort Worth Police Department did that night. No. If James Smith chose not to knock on the door, that does not make him a bad person. That's just saying to him he wasn't sure what was going on, so he called what he considered professionals to go in and do just that. Okay, listen, y'all, we got to get out of here. Listen, follow us on Facebook, our Let's Talk Facebook, Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page. And listen, we're going to be back on Friday night. Hopefully we'll know more to tell you by then, whether or not the jury has come back. And when the jury does come back, y'all, if they come back before Friday, we will be back the night that they come back. Until then, we will more than likely be back on Friday. If we decide to come back sooner, you can find the post on our Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page. Listen, y'all, until then, good night.
Night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.